Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
Truth is, you and I can and should daily say aloud, I have truly received from God better than I deserve.
By the grace of God, we get what Jesus deserves because Jesus got what we had coming. Pastor Keith Haberstock is our guest speaker today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you once again here in our 92nd season of broadcasting. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Keith Haberstock is missionary pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta, and pastoral advisor for Lutheran Layman's League, Canada. Now with a message titled, Better Than I Deserve, here is Pastor Haberstock.
Do you see things in your life as occurring because of luck or chance, or have you been brought to the realization that you truly have received better than you deserve? Today's message is entitled, Better Than I Deserve, based on John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Have you ever been speeding along in your ride and in the act passed a police officer and immediately looked in your rearview mirror, wondering if those given the authority to uphold the law were going to turn on their lights and sirens and chase you down? If they didn't, you might have been tempted to think, wow, I got away with one there. If that was your response, I would encourage you to reflect upon and then daily take up the following mantra, better than I deserve. As in, wow, I just received a way better than I deserved. I should have been made to make a $250 donation to the state, and yet here I am driving along with my heartbeat now coming back down to normal and no further in debt. Lord, please help me slow down. Or maybe you don't have a license yet and you just finished an exam at school for which you chose not to crack the books and thus prepare. A few days later, the teacher hands back the marks and you receive a way better mark than you deserved. You could have been way better off had you taken the time to study and refresh that which is stored in your gray matter. So the mark you truly received is way better than you deserved. Here's one more scenario from a few years back, which I myself did not pen. When the time came to go to school, I joined my siblings by attending Belmont School. It was 3/4 of a mile from our house. About 1/2 mile was along the paved highway, and the rest was a dirt road. Belmont was a 2-room schoolhouse covering grades 1 to 9. One of the things I remember from grade 3 was when I borrowed some books to read from the school. It was wintertime, and on the way home, a farmer with a big wagon load of hay passed me on the road. I still had a ways to go, so I hitched a ride without the driver of the horses knowing it. I sat on one of the runners, and when I got to our gate, I just jumped off and started walking to the house. Only then did I realize that I'd forgotten the books under the wagon. I was in quite a panic, so I ran as fast as I could to catch up with the wagon, hoping that the horses wouldn't start running, or I would never have caught them. Eventually, I caught up to the wagon and retrieved the books. That boy could very well have said, "Things sure turned out better than I deserved." In fact, that grade 3 boy grew up and lived and often shared those very words. As I think of the statement, "better than I deserve," I think of my father-in-law, whose remains we laid to rest a few days before Christmas last year. As so many of you will understand who've helped a brother or sister in Christ prepare to breathe their last breath, here in time and with all the bittersweetness which that brings to us who remain, their soul is being prepared to be ecstatic upon their first breath in God's timeless paradise in Jesus' physical presence. Dad, my father-in-law, allowed me to call him Dad for some 35 years. Reverend Dr. Edwin Gerhard Lehman was a man of very humble beginnings, whom God used as a pastor and then district president, and whom our church body, Lutheran Church Canada, chose as its first president back in the late 1980s. He was one of the wisest and most gentle men I've ever known, And with all the tributes that have come to his family from across Canada and around the world, many, many others thought the same. About 4 years ago, Ed published his memoirs, a feat that his family had been encouraging to write for some time. Why did we get on his case about writing them? Because Dad had a plethora of stories to share about how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had led him, his family, and our church. And so he recorded some of those accounts and entitled it, Better Than I Deserve. As I think about the stories he included and the fact that we as a family had been reading it before and after his death, it's not a stretch for me to hear in my mind's ear Lazarus very much using the same words. Do you know the Lazarus of whom I speak? He's a close friend of Jesus, brother to Mary and Martha of Bethany, whom Jesus, in the chapter just before our today's text, called back to life from the dead with a loud voice saying, Lazarus, come out. Jesus brought Lazarus back from a stinky four-day recline in the grave. I love the words Jesus used. Lazarus, come out. Almost as if Lazarus had gone into the wrong room and Jesus is reprimanding him. Or Jesus is saying to him, you have no business being in the grave. All of which, as God's adopted kids, is so very true. So with Lazarus alive, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. Kind of like saying, can't keep a good man down. Or let's get some real clothes on my friend and let him live. And Lazarus' first words or second could have been, wow, this is totally better than I deserve. Truth is, Lazarus and Ed and you and I and all of humanity can and should daily say aloud, I have truly received from God better than I deserve. Why? Because it's the absolute truth. We all deserve death. We don't deserve life. We deserve eternal separation from the one true God of the universe. Why? Because God in absolute love handcrafted humanity on day six of his six-day creation plan as the crown of his perfect creation. He made us and gave us an unending, faultless physical relationship with himself. He made us and gave us everything. We are blessed for all eternity. Talk about wow. And how did we choose to thank God for everything he'd given us? We humans threw it back in his face and said, we would rather hang out with the newcomer, a slippery, slithering snake, and receive this thing of which God had warned us, this death thing, rather than hang out with God. That's what we did. So the absolute truth is, you and I and all of humanity now deserve death, hell, and Satan daily and for all eternity. It's the choice we humans made, that God-forsaking choice. But God also made a choice. Actually, he made his choice even before we made ours. God, being all-knowing and the like, knew we would ditch him and the perfect life he had made for us, and that we would choose death and hell by consciously choosing to listen to a smooth-talking, forked-tongued liar. And so even before we royally messed up, God had a plan to rescue us from ourselves, from death, from Satan, and all the disorder we had and would bring upon ourselves in God's perfect creation. He already had a plan to send one person in our stead to fully pay the price, to win back from the deceiver, and to thus give hope to us amidst all the lies that this tempter spouted and spouts, this one who made himself the self-imposed king of this now crumbling castle and our fallen, wretched lives. God already had a plan to send Jesus, his only son, who though he deserved immensely better, never received the better he deserved. In fact, Jesus, as you'll hear over the next two broadcasts, came to die in your place. He came to conquer death for you, me, and for all. The one who deserved the best from us and all creation and the Father yet received the worst of all. Why? Also that we and all creation could receive far better than the hell and destruction we now rightly should have coming to us. Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from death, and for it, gained even more ire from the Jewish ruling council, all of which God saw from eternity, saw how it would unfold that we humans would do to his son. And with it, came a prophecy from Caiaphas, high priest that year, who said, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." So Jesus, after giving Lazarus better than he deserved, left the area with his followers and went to a region near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim, until, that is, the day of which our text addresses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because of account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. In my 35 years of shepherding, I don't ever recall preaching on this text. Maybe I just have a bad memory. I do remember preaching a few times on similar texts from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus is invited to a meal at a Pharisee's house, Simon the leper, where Jesus is anointed with a very expensive perfume by a sinner, and then the complaining begins. Simon quips, "If this guy really were a prophet, he'd know who is touching him." In those accounts, the disciples all pile on this woman for the disgusting waste instead of helping the poor. But in this text, John writes that it is Judas who gets in on the act and jaws about how the expenses could have been used much more responsibly, though Judas conveniently leaves out the fact, though John adds it in, that Judas says such because of his own sinful habit of stealing from the kitty. Our text is not the same account as those in the other three Gospels. Yes, it's about a meal with an anointing and someone sinfully spouting their selfish opinions about the poor use of the extravagance. However, this meal is clearly a celebratory meal, a celebration of the fact that Jesus is back in town after giving a very dear friend way better than he deserved. In this text, John writes of a Sabbath meal that Jesus is invited to for a real good reason. He's back in town, as you may hear next week in Palm Sunday worship, for a very special procession in the beginning of the last week of his life, for hard work on our behalf before his final work at the cross. Jesus is back in Bethany for the first time after raising Lazarus from the grave. Talk about a good reason for a celebration meal. What better reason could there be to invite your Savior to a Sabbath meal? The last Sabbath meal, in fact, that Jesus will celebrate here on earth. That is, until we celebrate together with him on this, his earth, in eternity. So they celebrated, setting up in a very real way what only Jesus around the table in Bethany knows is about to transpire. Truth is, death and resurrection are very much in the air, but not only the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus, being next to him alive again at a meal? Lazarus truly received better than he deserved. And so do you and I, every single time you come to God's altar to receive the very body and blood of your Savior Jesus, in with and under the bread and the wine. A holy mystery for all of God's baptized and instructed kids to properly partake of and to be utterly blessed in faithfully receiving him. Truly, this is better than you and I deserve. Truth is, The forgiveness of all your sins comes to you by the very one who hung upon the cross to give himself for you and to be the very meal he instituted of himself on Monday, Thursday, saying to his first disciples, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Man, what an undeserved gift to each of us. This Jesus allowed Mary the honor of anointing him in preparation for his burial to come. She didn't know when Jesus' death would come. The others in the room didn't know it either. Oh, they may have heard the Jewish ruling class ratcheting up the rhetoric, but only God Almighty knew from eternity what we would do to his son and exactly when we would do it. And so he sent Jesus right on time to live and suffer and die in order to give you and me and Ed and Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Judas better than we all deserve. As our brother Lazarus received the blessing of life again from Jesus, so have you and I and Dr. Layman and all others who have received faith in this world's one and only Savior. For Jesus is the only Savior there is and will ever be, the only Savior this world has ever and will ever know. We received life again at the waters of holy baptism when Jesus' own baptismal formula was spoken over: baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At those very waters you were given, or if you are not yet baptized in God's triune name, please ask Lutheran Hour Ministries to connect you to a congregation near you that you may receive what Jesus won for you at the cross. What is that? Full forgiveness of your sins. And through holy baptism, you receive the gift of faith, faith in him who gave his perfect life for you and your imperfect life upon the cross of Calvary. At that cross, Jesus chose to forgive you. He chose you, not you chose him. And with his gift of faith to you, he promises that when you breathe your last breath, believing in his cross work on your behalf, your soul will be taken by God to be in Jesus' ascended presence until we as his kids all receive the true upgrade of incorruptible bodies at his final return. All of this is 100% beyond what you and I deserve. But there's more. And then we'll be with him at his banqueting table, invited to a meal forever here on his remade earth. Better than we deserve doesn't even begin to proclaim at all, but it's a good start. You and I have truly received better than we deserve. In fact, that's our daily reality. As children of the Heavenly Father, he keeps giving and giving better than we deserve. One day, the last day, whether we breathe our last in faith before Jesus returns or are alive in faith when he does return, he'll, in a sense, say to us, as he said to Lazarus, "Come out! Enough of all this death you chose. Death be gone. New clothes forever. You, my brothers and sisters, will be with me, alive forevermore, the way I first intended for you and first gave to you back in the garden. Though you tossed it all, I give it back to you, paid in full by me. Now let's truly celebrate." Our text says that those who planned to put Jesus to death were also planning the same for the newly resurrected Lazarus. He would face a second death, not the second death talked about in the book of Revelation, but another last breath event, to which I pray our brother learned to say, "No big deal. Jesus had me the first go around. He has me now and forever. For in Jesus, I have received way better than I deserved." May those also be our words, yours and mine. May we look at death as something Jesus totally has control of and therefore be emboldened to live for him, led by the Holy Spirit to others, that they may see Jesus and therefore, because of us, really because of Jesus living unmistakably in us, be drawn to him, their Savior and Lord, the only one this world will ever, ever know. Dr. Layman ends his memoirs with these words: "At various times during my active ministry and more often in retirement, people would ask me, 'How are things going?' They might have been referring to the issues I was dealing with as the ABC district president, the development of Lutheran Church Canada, or in my recovery after removal of a kidney. My usual answer was always the same. Not as well as they should be, but better than I deserve. Most took it as an attempt at humor, but I meant it to be taken in at face value, because my response was one that could be applied to so many circumstances in life. God has indeed been very good to me, and in spite of my many mistakes and failures, his blessings have continued to be better than I deserve. Though Jesus is the only one among us who could ever say he didn't receive better than he deserved, he joyfully faced all that we threw at him, conquered it all in his death, and came back to life to prove our forgiveness. He faced it all so that you and yours can always say with me and mine and my father-in-law, better than I deserve. Tune in next week and the weeks after that to keep hearing the truth about our Savior Jesus, who faced all our mess, cleaned it up at Calvary, and then rose again to prove that in him, in Jesus, all of humanity has received better than we deserve. Amen and amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. Next, music for the season of Lent, courtesy of the Hymnal Project of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Jesus, I will ponder now on your holy passion. With your Spirit be endow for such meditation. Grant that I, in love and faith, may the image cherish of your suffering, pain, and death, that I may not perish.
Son, suffer.
Next week, Dr. Michael Ziegler returns with a message for Palm Sunday. Here's part of what you'll hear.
From the Bible, Luther learned that God hadn't left us to find peace for ourselves. Instead, God came to us. He had sent His Son, Jesus, into our secular world, in the middle of our struggles, to bear our burdens, to give us peace in His presence. God wasn't cloistered up in heaven, waiting smugly for us to come crawling back to church. No, God showed up smack in the middle of life in Jesus, with forgiveness and love and a promise never to leave us.
Dr. Michael Ziegler, next week. Now Pastor Haberstock invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.